Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. We've got some things to talk about here today, including a really interesting note from practice, Kings practice, that is. Let's start with our man Daniel, though, here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Daniel, what's good, baby?
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Not too bad, man, not too bad. Hey, watching that game last night, the run game got a lot better after Brendel went down. I think he's so bad that he's out. You got somebody who's halfway competent. I think you're going to see a better run game. Also with CMC, that kind of they use him way too much. I know they have to, but they're not going to be able to carry that through the whole season. They got to bring in Garendo. They got to give some more. They just got to take it off of CMC and give him a little bit of a rest, because I don't think he's going to last the whole season if he plays this much.
So a couple of things. He said when Brenda went out, is that mm-hmm. what he said at the beginning? I disagree with the usage thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Christian McCaffrey could get hurt in preseason. He could get hurt after, you know, 1,000. People said the same thing about Derrick Henry. People thought Nick Saban was running Derrick Henry into the ground. I was one of them. We thought he was running Derrick Henry into the ground because he ain't going to be able to use him next year, so what's he care? Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry's had a Hall of Fame career being a high-usage player. You know, obviously it's a little bit different now, but, you know, most of his career he was a high-usage player. I know the 49ers are asking a lot of Christian McCaffrey. I don't think that's going to... I don't think we're stealing minutes from a late regular season game or whatever, because he's catching a couple of extra passes. I mean, I think what was it, 17 on the ground yesterday?
24 carries on the ground.
Well, okay, so didn't even watch the game. didn't even see it.
Because
he had the 5.4. Sorry,
I'm not trying to Tennessee Titans this thing or the Cowboys with DeMarco Murray this thing.
Oh, man.
But, like, this is it. Like, this is McCaffrey's opportunity, I believe. It's one of his last opportunities to be that type of running back, to be top flight like that. I think he's got one or two more years of being able to be this type of MVP caliber type player. And the Niners kind of are looking around and, this is who knows how this. You might have an opportunity to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't the time for no pitch clock. This is not the time for no pitch clock. And I'm not saying run him into the ground, but I also wouldn't. I wouldn't let that play a factor in my play calling if I was Kyle Shanahan or my game planning. One thing they were able to do yesterday, which is better than in the weeks prior, is they were able to get 9 carries in there for Brian Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get 9 to 11 Brian Robinson carries, that's a good sign because that means he's probably running the ball effectively where you feel good enough putting him in there. And Christian McCaffrey's getting a little bit more rest. But for the most part, this is go time. Like, this is it. This season, you might have a chance to do some things. And yeah, in a perfect world, you'd have somebody that when you could take McCaffrey out, because right when McCaffrey comes out, we're bringing somebody in that is the same caliber of runner, receiver, threat, all this other stuff. But that's not where you're at.
Yeah, and as you point out, this team can get some things done this year. Like, this, there's through 7 weeks, or it'll be through 7 weeks after tonight. There's no, like, whoo, look at them. Like, the 6-1 Colts, people are like, wait, is this for real? It's not like, oh, my God, look at this. This is incredible. It's like, nah, we're all just kind of waiting. I think that's a really good football team. But we're all just kind of waiting. We saw the Packers tie. We saw Buffalo lose last week. We saw the Lions lose last week. We saw the Eagles lose a couple in a row. There's no, who, look at them. The look at them team might be Kansas City, who all of a sudden is starting to look like a Patrick Mahomes-led team, mm-hmm. and they're the defending champions. They obviously have the pedigree of the last, what are we up to, 3-4? You go back beyond that, the last 5 or 6 years now, mm-hmm. Under their belt, and you start to wonder, man, is this, what are they 4-3 now? Are they the most dangerous team in the NFL? And so it's right there for San Francisco. And if that means Christian McCaffrey has to run the ball 20-plus times and catch the ball 10 times, then, yeah, that's what he's got to do.
I want to ask you a question. I meant to ask you this last week, and they're working. I'll leave Kyle alone on this one, but I'll ask you as well. Before Fred Warner got hurt, the thought was, all right, you lost Nick Bosa. Hey, go get you Hendrickson. Go get you a pass rusher because mm-hmm. you got opportunity to be special. Then Fred Warner gets hurt, and the thought process was, all right, you can't be as aggressive now because you probably aren't winning a Super Bowl without Fred Warner. Hmm. So before we're like, hey, a second rounder or whatever, go get in. Nah, not no more, because now you need to be smart with those things, because why would you do all that to go get somebody that you can't win a championship with because you lost Bosa and Fred Warner? Talking about everything that you just talked about, looking at the way they played last night, do you think the Niners are back to, hey, go get you somebody and you can do this, even without Fred Warner?
To me, that they never left that. Because I figured whoever they were going to get wouldn't really impact Fred Warner anyways. Like, Don't do something reckless. Like, don't trade multiple picks for someone like Trey Hendrickson or even Max Crosby, who didn't even finish the game for the Raiders yesterday. And the Raiders absolutely need to trade Max Crosby at this point. But don't do that. Be like they, and they never
what,
have.
What would that be? Like, two first rounders or something?
Any first rounder to me would be that. Okay. Because Trey Hendrickson, you're talking, we're bringing you in, and if you can sign him,
that's what I'm thinking.
Whatever, like if you sign him, like, great. But like, the idea is you're here for a few months. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to win a title. Now, we brought Trent Williams here with the idea of we want Trent Williams to retire as San Francisco 49er. We're bringing one of the best to ever play his position in here to play this position for a long time. It's not to win a championship right now. It's to help catapult what we're doing. Mm-hmm. If you can ask and answer those questions, and those answers are, no, we want to find the next Trent. We want to find the guy that we didn't. Yeah, okay, you could be more aggressive in that. But if you are really looking for what might be a potential Band-Aid, yeah, I'd be a lot more careful. Anything above a 3 to me. Would be that would be pretty risky to me, unless and I do not know the vault of 49ers picks, you have a ton of second round. And if I'm Kyle, I'm not trade. Maybe I don't trade 4, 5, and 6 because I just got a slew of Pro Bowlers and all pros from those drafts.
They got, I believe, I'll try and look this up too. They got some more of those compensation picks not too long ago.
Okay.
So I think they might have like 2/3, 2/4 or something like that over in next year's draft. And yeah.
I still think you could be aggressive. Just
I've gone back to that.
Aggressive.
When Fred went down, I was like, and partly because as much as, you know, people say he's going to be fine, and I believe he is, you got to – I don't think he's ever going to be the same. You know what I mean? So you can't just, oh, Fred will be back
you,
and everything
will be
good. You
don't think Fred's going to be the same?
I don't think it's Brandon Ayuk and what I think about him after his knee injury. I think Brandon Ayuk will be lucky to get to 75% of what he was before the knee injury. So I don't think that's what it is with Fred, but I don't think he's gonna be the same.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder.
Don't think that's true. But one, Fred, I feel like is one of Fred's best things is his IQ. I don't think that's getting damaged.
No, but the physically, I mean, is he gonna still have the foot speed to stay with a CeeDee Lamb 30 yards down the field?
Well, it don't Maybe. Matter. CeeDee ain't gonna play. CeeDee gonna be injured that game. It don't matter.
That's yeah. I worry about that. I worry about that. I think he's gonna be great. I think he's gonna be an all a pro
Shout
bowler.
Out CeeDee though. That boy played yesterday.
He did, man.
That boy played yesterday.
Yeah, everybody was out there playing for the Cowboys. Yeah. They had it cooking. I think he's still gonna be great, but when you talk about the, I want to see exactly what the diagnosis was with the injury. Do you have ligament nerve damage with that? Is that something that is going to hamper you forever? Was it just a clean break?
I just think it was I have to go back to Niners Wire. I thought it was clean.
Okay. The dislocation, that's what you worry about. I never saw the follow-up with how the procedure went, but the worry was the ligament damage and the nerve damage when you have a dislocation. I talked about it the other day. One of the surgeons said he might be back by February.
Yeah, so we were talking about was it Caris LeVert? The break. I thought to that day that Caris had a break, but it didn't. He didn't. It was a dislocation. It was just a really, really nasty one. We'll come back. We'll get back to the 49ers at some point. We've got to talk Kings basketball, though. We got to talk. We got to talk Dennis Schroeder and what this starting lineup might look like on Wednesday, because we might be adding another name to that injured list for the games this week. We'll talk about it. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Just found this video. Ric Flair walking around on the sideline, in a Rams jersey shaking hands with the 49ers.
Yeah. I was about to say he was at that game, right?
Yeah.
And I think he was talking to the Rams before the game.
Yeah, he's over here talking to John Lynch.
That dude, Ric Flair, I understand. He'll talk to anybody and throw
will.
On a jersey and be like, I'm with you guys.
I'm with whoever pays me. Walking around with this dude is crazy. Is that Charlotte that's with him? This, I don't know. Rick's got 3 gold chains on. Like the Rams jersey is 16, but there's little like stones on it to make it look shiny.
Uh-huh.
He got a Rams hat on and some loafers. And I think that might be Charlotte with him. Goodness gracious. Ric Flair. Oh, boy. So, multiple reports coming out of King's practice today. Sean Cunningham tweeted, Dennis Schroeder was a non-contact participant at King's practice today. Of course, the Sacramento Kings are 2 days away from the start of their season. They'll open on the road against Utah, Phoenix on Wednesday. Then they'll open up the home portion of the season against Utah on Friday. We know not only Keegan Murray, but we learned over the weekend that Domantas Sabonis won't play in either one of those games. Mm-hmm. Now there should at least be question as to whether Dennis Schroeder is going to play in Wednesday's opener against the Phoenix Suns. James was obviously here with us, so he wasn't at practice. I've gone through all the usual suspects looking for a video of, like, the notification I have is a 12:30 media availability. So that, you know, those guys have been whoever spoke has spoken. Mm-hmm. I just can't find it. So I'm not really sure what happened to Dennis and what this week might look like for him. But, man, they're dropping like 49ers out here, man, in Sacramento.
Yo, for real. Friday night in the game, Dennis had a play where he went to the basket, and I think DeAndre Ayton landed mm-hmm. on his foot. He lost his shoe or whatever. And Dennis was kind of – he got up, was kind of limping off. Seemed like he was upset with like a non-call more than mm-hmm. being in pain, but he was limping off. And I believe – because I didn't – watch the game live, and I didn't finish the game from that point. I got to go back and watch it. But I believe he came back into the game.
He did.
And played and played well and did all that. But
played really well.
At the time, I thought he was going to be out for the rest of the game. I was like, okay, well, that happened. He's limping. No need to bring him back. But he came back and played. And after I saw that he came back and played and, you know, recanted that, that moment, it's like, okay, everything's fine. And then you see the injury report today, and no, not everything is fine. And his status, it feels like right now, his status for opening night is up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, it's up in the air. It this doesn't feel, obviously, a third starter being out of your lineup is a big deal. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel as big of a deal as it might have felt a week ago, because one, you have Russell Westbrook to be the point guard, the starting point guard for you, should be necessary on Wednesday and Friday or Wednesday or Friday. But you also have this is the position group, like losing Domas and Keegan at the same time because of the way this team is built is brutal.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely brutal. Potentially losing Dennis for a game or two or a week or whatever, it feels a little bit different. Again, because you have Russell Westbrook now to potentially be the facilitator, but you also have that, you still have the Malik, DeMar, Keon, you still have that heavy depth chart of guards mm-hmm. that you feel like if one's out, like, and maybe this isn't necessarily true for DeMar. I feel like DeMar being out would be pretty tough for this team. But you remove any of the other guys, and it's like, okay, we have enough at this position to kind of fill in for them. That's not the case with Keegan and Domas,
right.
But I think it's the case potentially if Dennis is out.
Yeah, and you got enough guys in that guard room to just kind of hold it down for a little bit. They're a little versatile. Obviously, I think Schroeder's a little bit more of an organizer.
Well, they all do something very different than the other ones.
Yeah, but like you said, you can kind of – it feels like you can get by.
Certainly for a game or two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like the first three games of the season, if you don't have Dennis, you have enough guys to plug in to the rotation to be able to be okay. That's what I would think. Especially with, like you mentioned, Russell Westbrook being on the roster now too. If you didn't have Russ or, you know, maybe, oh, here we go, it's going to look like it looked last year with no point guard or something like that. But Russ helps that out a little bit.
Yeah, and this probably goes without saying. I think Jay Gaydon tweeted as much. Russell Westbrook did get that run with the guys in his first practice as a Sacramento King. Mm-hmm. He ran with the starters. Mm-hmm. Whatever that might look like, because we don't know who's starting at four for we don't know who's starting at four or five for Sacramento. We can figure it out. Maybe, but we would just be guessing at this point. We saw Isaac Jones start on Friday. We saw Isaac Jones and I think it was Drew Eubanks start at the five. I assume Drew Eubanks is starting.
Yeah,
I'm just assuming he's starting and they're not going to start Maxime Raynon as welcome to the league. Like, I don't think they're doing that. But I do think there is some question as to who's starting at the four. We saw Isaac Jones start on Friday. We saw Saric start in the game on Wednesday. I think most Kings fans could be wrong. I think most Kings fans would probably like to see Isaac Jones out there just because I think most people think Dario Saric is probably a dead end. Like, there's no real point in it. And I thought Isaac Jones actually played well on Friday.
Yeah, he was cool.
I thought he played well. I think he's played well most of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
He's done good things out there. Yeah, it's not like, you know, he hasn't jumped off the page like Zach LaVine did. He didn't have a what's Hammer call him? I'm sure he'll say that when he joins us at 3 o'clock that Dennis had his check-in moment. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had one of those, but I still think he's been noticeably good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it was enough for Doug and his coaching staff to feel like, yeah, he's gonna be our guy. Again, just because someone starts Wednesday doesn't mean they're gonna start Friday or Sunday or so on and so forth. Maybe things have changed a little bit with Domas being out. You know, maybe they want to come up with something different. Maybe Drew Eubanks and Isaac won't work. Maybe Drew Eubanks and Dario Saric won't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I'd expect a lot of either change or early substitutions, regardless of who's starting at the four and the five beginning on Wednesday.
100%. I agree. I meant to ask this question earlier during the handoff, just being an S starter. But Neat Clifford was really good on Friday night. He was really good all preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really good on Friday night. He was doing a lot of great things on the offensive end and creating, scoring, all this other stuff. You know who he was primarily matched up on Friday?
I don't think so.
Luka, who had like 31.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the line they always like to use when they talk about people they don't like? Oh, yeah, you scored a lot of points, but if you're just giving up 30 on the other end, does it even matter? We're going to do that with Neek? Absolutely not. We're not going to do that. But me and you.
Say there ain't no we.
Me and you, we can do that because we don't look at Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan as like this bad player where, oh, you scored, but you didn't stop nobody, so it don't matter. Like, no, we like these guys are good. They rock. And that's how I feel about Neek. But we're going to use that same argument this time. No, we're not.
And Kenny's being nice this week. When he's saying we, he means you. Just so you know.
As we're using the same We're using the same argument, or are we just doing it when it's convenient?
You know who I was happiest for? It wasn't Neek or Dennis on Friday. It was Keon.
Keon played really well.
I thought Keon I thought Keon was terrific on Friday, and it was kind of a check-in moment or whatever. It was like, okay, that's a different player.
So we had a we didn't have the conversation. I was listening to the insiders, and James Hams, he'll be here with us at about 3 o'clock, and we can talk more about it. But the performance that we saw on Friday, Kyle and James looked at it in a way of like, that's how you're supposed to play. And
if you're Keon or the
Kings? If you're the Kings.
Okay.
That's how you're supposed to play. And is Doug Christie going to be able to look at those veterans that aren't playing that way and say, hey, I'm going to get you out of here, or I'm going to take your minutes away, and we're going to go with the guys that are playing. I look at it a completely different way. Those guys hadn't done a damn thing in the first three games. It was about time they showed up. Those guys hadn't done, outside of Neek, those bench guys, they hadn't produced anything. We watched the games. We talked about it every game. Mm-hmm. The starters were fine.
The game went to hell when the...
Yeah. The starters were fine. It was a game. It was competitive. They were leading. They had an opportunity. And then that second
Clippers
unit...
Clippers one being the most glaring. Yeah. Example. Awful.
That second unit comes in and they can't get anything done. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't this is how you're supposed to play. Starters be on notice. It was like, no, it's about damn time you guys showed up and played. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we need. This isn't an indictment on the starting group who has held their own for the most part the entire time. That's how I saw it.
Oh, they did, yeah, they you know, again, Dennis played well, Zach LaVine played well, but that was it. Like, DeMar wasn't even there. Like, DeMar didn't play in this game. Obviously, Domas and Keegan didn't play in this game. So,
you know, one thing I also keep seeing, too, and I wonder, well, I know how it's going to go. They're not going to be this full court pressing team, like, as much as they want to. Like, no, it's not going to happen. That's not the way the NBA plays. But one of the things that I saw happen on Friday that I think happens a lot, and I'd be interested what Doug has to say about this, is Kings score, Lakers are inbounding the ball, Dennis Schroeder is denying Gabe Vincent, he can't get the ball. They pass it to Austin Reeves, and he just brings it up, and there's nobody there. And I wonder, sometimes, is the guy who's guarding Austin Reeves, when a shot goes up, is it his, potentially wherever the shot is coming from, it's his job to get back on defense. So say Schroeder takes a shot. He takes a shot. It's Zach LaVine's job to get back. He's the farthest on the other side of the court. Get back, make sure you have transition defense ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, the shot goes in. He's at the other three-point line. Does Doug want him to sprint from the other three-point line up to Austin Reeves to guard him to go 94 feet? I don't know. I wonder. And if he does, that seems like a lot. That doesn't seem sustainable.
But is that ever really what you're talking about? Like, if Austin Reeves is bringing the ball up the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Because Schroeder is
got
Gabe Vincent. Yeah, so they're just like, okay, we'll just pass it to Austin Reeves. And people are like, why don't we see 94 feet? There's nobody. I don't know how realistic that is in an NBA game for a number of different reasons. Just because NBA players do what they do because of defensive rotations, like after a shot or before a shot. I don't know if we're going to see 94 feet from every player all game long. You may see it in spots, but not all game.
In the scenario you presented, is it outrageous to think, yeah, maybe it's not 94 feet, maybe it's 80? Like, you're not waiting for Austin Reeves on the other side of the floor, but you're not trying to sprint to the other side of the court to deny the inbounds pass.
Yeah, I mean, it seems reasonable to me, just because when I look at the NBA – this isn't like college and high school where if you guard a point guard too close, they're just going to go by you for layups all game long. That's not how NBA point guards play, especially if that point guard isn't the best player on the team. So, for instance, let's just use Gabe Vincent as an example. Mm-hmm. Gabe Vincent isn't just going to blow by the person all the time and score and shoot every shot with Luka and LeBron on the team. They're going to be like, all right, it's cool that you broke the press, but – get the ball to us. Stop playing. So my thought was always, why not pick up 94 feet? They're not going to beat you and score. So to your point, yeah, go pick them up 80 feet from the basket. What Austin Green's going to do? He's going to go by you and score every single time with LeBron and Luka not touching the basketball? No. So go do it. What you afraid of? But that's not the – doesn't seem to be the way the NBA has ever been played. So,
is Isaac Jones starting on Wednesday?
Will they play Phoenix?
Yeah.
No, I think Saric is going to start. That's my
Saric and Drew Eubanks?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Saric, Drew Eubanks, and Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
Do you think Dennis? Well, I'm asking you to, like, we have no idea what happened.
Schroeder can't play, yeah. If he can't play, Schroeder starts.
Russell Westbrook is starting for sure. Mm. The question more was, do we think Dennis Schroeder is playing? It feels like, you know, when you talk about having your foot stepped on or you know, ankle. A lot of guys just, they say, and they'll tell you this quickly. I mean, we dealt with it with De'Aaron all of the time. Adrenaline. Mm-hmm. You don't really feel it. Like, oh, you feel it. Oh, it hurts. But then you start moving and the blood's flowing and, you know, you're not really thinking about it. Then everything stops and all of a sudden that pain sets in.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's what happened with Dennis Schroeder after that game on Friday.
Yeah. It could have possibly been the case.
Because I'm a bit confused. So that game was Friday. Saturday they had Fan Fest,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's a practice, but maybe like kind of a unofficial light practice.
Right.
Sunday I think was a day off because Russell Westbrook gave his media introductory press conference, and then of course Keon Ellis was out at the Galleria. I didn't get anything from the Golden One Center outside of the Russell Westbrook press conference. So I assumed they, and then the line from Russ where he was answering someone's question, he was like, yeah, I haven't even practiced yet.
Yeah.
So his first practice was today, which means, Dennis has just kind of been trying to get this thing better over the course of the last 2 days. So clearly there's something to it that's bugging him a little bit because he didn't practice today.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago because Sasha didn't participate in the songs and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
But with Mike Brown,
did All I Want for Christmas. Was that? It wasn't Neek. Neek
I think
rap.
It was Caldwell.
Oh, was it? I think. Shout out to I can't remember who it was. They actually had fun.
Yeah.
Like they didn't take it seriously. Like they just poked fun at themselves and sang Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Sasha was not doing it.
They said it was Dylan. All right. He did his job. Someone tweeted, I think it was Sean Cunningham. He understood the assignment.
Yes. Yes. But I bring that up to say, I think that year with Mike Brown, they practiced before Fan Fest. Fan Fest was like, let's just do this for the fans or, you know, do whatever. But they were late. That's why I knew this.
That's
they were
right.
like 45
that's
minutes late.
Right.
And they're
that's
like,
right.
yeah, they're still practicing.
Yeah, right that's now. Right.
It's like, well, ain't
yeah.
that what they supposed to be doing out here?
Yeah, that's right.
So I say all that to say it doesn't feel
we
like.
We should have known then. We should have known then when Mike made them late for Fan Fest.
That's why Sasha didn't want to do it. He's like, bro, I just had to practice. I ain't singing Mariah Carey. Done. But I don't think that's the way things went down.
I think he would have sang anyways.
That's not how things went down this Fan Fest. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Schroeder, he didn't practice. He didn't do nothing with it or try to till maybe today.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure he's been doing cold tubs rehab, you know. I'm sure he's been in there getting it, whatever sort of therapy the Sacramento Kings training team can give him, but we have such a limited amount of information on what exactly is going on with Dennis Schroeder, what happened, even though we think we could figure it out, and whether he's even at the point of having a timetable on a return. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line here, 916-909 1320. Our man TC on the line. TC, what's good, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
All right, he's not up, even man? On the Bluetooth today, man. He knows what it is.
Hey, listen. Hey, you know I had to tap in. Hey, D-Lo, them pictures. Hey, that was fire. That Westbrook jersey, bro. I like that. That was a good look, big dog.
Right on, yeah. Man.
You and Katie, y'all look nice, man, for sure.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. We had a good time.
For sure. Hey, listen, but hey, this ain't even a hot take, y'all. I'm going to come in hot. So Tyrese Halliburton and Nick Clifford. Nick Clifford will be better than Tyrese Halliburton. And what I mean by they, their rookie seasons look similar. But how fans out here in Sacramento love Tyrese Halliburton, bro, it's going to be the same way they love Clifford. But as far as talent-wise, Kenny and Damian, bro, dude is going to be better than that dude, bro. Mark my words right now. Book it, y'all. Kings fans, get ready. We got us one. We hit on his draft pick.
All right, man. All right, man. I see you.
I wonder.
The crowd goes wild.
Does TC, like, jot down what outlandish things he could say?
Well, that's the thing, though. He said it's not even really a hot take.
But he's coming in hot.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hot take. Like, Nick Clifford, who has played exactly zero regular season basketball games, is going to be better than Tyrese Halliburton. Now, if he had said the fan base is going to fall in love with him more than they did Tyrese Halliburton and left it at that, sure. But the idea that Neek is no, he's gonna be better than Tyrese. Hey, Neek has looked great this preseason.
Yeah. Why we gotta go there?
Yeah,
why we gotta go there? This guy is like gonna be the starting point guard. Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah. He'll be like the starting point guard for Team USA in 3 years. He's an all NBA guy. Why we gotta go there? Why can't we just say Nick is going
to
be good?
Because TC, this is Sports Talk Radio, man. TC got to find something to say. TC got to find something to say.
I'll tell you, during the break, well, not it don't matter if it's during the break or not, because I'm not saying it on air, on any air, but I'll text you.
You started the fight at Sac State?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was having a great time at Sac State. Right. I'll text you what I text Kyle.
What is the difference between coming in hot and having a hot take?
Good question.
No idea.
Ask TC when he calls back. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back. Raider fans, you're getting bailed out right now. Oof. Because at some point, and it might not even be to tomorrow, you're not getting let off the hook for that sorry-ass performance from your football team. That was terrible. But we're going to hear from Doug Christie.
Okay.
We'll hear from Doug Christie.
Yeah, y'all should thank Doug.
Yeah, Raider Nation. You know what? I apologize to it's been difficult enough for you. I'm sorry.
Stall him out.
I'm sorry.
Stall him out, Debo.
We'll come back. We'll hear from Doug Christie next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
20. All right, let's hear from Sacramento Kings head coach Doug Christie. This is following practice today. Here's DC ahead of the season opener on Wednesday.
is when it gets real, first game of the season, how are you feeling? I mean, from training camp, from preseason, going into this, what is the, you know, what is the mood?
Vibe is good. We're not moody people, so we don't deal in moods. It's a vibe, you know. I think everybody's in good spirits. It's a lot to improve upon, a lot to do. We know it's a long season, but as you said, it gets real, so we are prepared.
Everyone talks about Westbrook's intensity, like you're in practice, game, it doesn't matter. What do you see from the first practice today? What does he bring to you guys?
Leadership, intensity, you know, a veteran voice, internal leadership, aggressiveness. Like, there's so many different aspects of his game that are needed for our team and are needed for our players, some of our veterans as well, and definitely our young players. They get to see what a pro does on a day-to-day basis, and it's about as valuable information as you can get. Can't purchase it. It's something that is in a person, and Russ has it in spades.
With Domas going down, just have you thought about what the rotation looks like? And I'll probably take over that first unit, but aside from that.
Well, first, he's not down.
Okay, sorry.
But he is slowed.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to work through it. I mean, you don't replace Domas. I mean, he does so many different things on the floor, first and foremost. So we'll see when we get down to Phoenix who dons the court first. It's really not about who starts. It's about who finishes, and it's about that we finish the game as victors. So whatever that means to figure that out, that's what we're here to do.
With the addition of Russ and his familiarity with so many guys on this team, is there anything you kind of tap into that of all those things you kind of outlined that he brings to a team? Is there one that you kind of lean on more than the other, especially given that chemistry?
No, I think his value is immense. So you don't try to limit what he does. I mean, there are moments where it's his voice. Then there's moments where it's his actions. And then it's moments where he's pulling a young player aside or a veteran and talking to them about what's expected. So it's not like as simple as, okay, we're just focusing on this one thing. He brings so many different things, and it's kind of similar to how he plays. I mean, he rebounds, he scores, he defends, he pushes the ball, he creates gravity. So it's no different. It's very similar to, you know, how you look at him live his life. And that is a blessing for all of us here in Sacramento.
I may hit pause right there for a specific reason. And we'll go back to Doug Christie here. If you're watching, I won't even take it off the screen. We're going to go right back to Doug. I don't know. It's at least the second. I'm sure it's more. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying that starting, finishing thing again. Mm. And it leads me to believe, and I could absolutely be wrong, he knows whatever lineup he's starting with isn't going to be the one he's ending with. And I don't know if that's at the four, at the five. I don't know if he expects adjustments at the one and the two. Like, I'm not sure what it is. You go back to it was in a season full of weird moments. One really weird moment that doesn't get discussed because we had a star player get traded and a coach get fired was the Malik Monk moment where he's coming back from, I think it was a sickness, if I remember correctly. Like, he was ill. I don't think he was injured. I think he was ill. It was something, but Malik was out of the starting lineup.
Yeah.
He comes back. He gets introduced as the starter, but he's not starting. And when they take the floor, it's Keon Ellis out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his thing post-game was, you guys didn't ask. And it was miscommunication with the scorers table and whatever. But maybe if he had asked, I would have told you, which he probably wouldn't have. But that's what he said. It was like, you guys didn't ask. Mm-hmm. And someone asked him, like, hey, is this a permanent thing? And he was like, hey, you know, I'm not sure. It was very much a permanent thing. Like, Malik Monk never started again. Go back in that stretch, Malik Monk finished games. Mm-hmm. And it became no different than what it was, you know, under Mike Brown, where he wouldn't necessarily start, but he'd have a hand. And there were games last year where he didn't. And it was just like, you got to get Malik off the floor. It's just not his night. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of nights where he wound up finishing games that he didn't start in, even after Keon Ellis got back in there. I think Doug is aware he's going to have to. And we talked about this. We think one of the reasons that the Kings went on that run that they did when Doug took over had a lot to do with it wasn't just relief of Mike being gone. It was that Doug was coaching on a feel. And if he thought someone wasn't playing well, he was making a substitution, he would just let that player play for as long as until they tugged on their jersey or whatever. He did a lot of, you know, we talk about coaching on a clock and coaching on a feel. Mike did a lot of clock coaching. Doug does not. And it feels like to me he's starting to position this as, yeah, you're going to see some things that, you know, if these lineups, if these players play the way I expect them to, you're going to see some things change at the end of games.
I think he also understands. And
we might run some unconventional lineups with some of our guys out.
Yeah. He also understands from firsthand knowledge that it literally matters how you finish the game. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Bobby Jackson. Mm-hmm. Hedo Turkoglu, in mm-hmm. some aspects. Mm-hmm. They weren't starters, but in certain situations, depending on what was going on in that game, matchups, the feel that Coach Adelman had, they would finish a lot of games, though. And I think that's just how he believes in constructing a lineup and constructing a rotation. And you talk about just that in general, but then you throw in the curveball that Keegan is out and Domas is out. Yeah, Sarge might start. You might not see him in the final 6 minutes of the game, though, depending on what the matchup is.
Sure.
So,
or in the second half.
Right. Well, he'll start you know the third what I mean? Quarter.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Casey Alcala started the second quarter.
That might be it. But I mean, I think that's already his mindset as a coach.
Yeah.
But you add these injuries in here, and it's really like, We're going to go on feel in some of these situations.
Let's go back to Doug Christie here.
Have you been surprised by Neek at all? Is there anything that's jumped out to you just watching his game?
I mean, it would be hard pressed to say no, he hasn't surprised me. I mean, watching him once we drafted him, you know, we got to work out with him the prior year, so got to see him. And then once we got him in a Sacramento Kings uniform, watching him in the summertime, immediately I was surprised by the reads that he made. Not all young players come off of a pick and roll and they're reading their progressions like a quarterback, and he's like pocket, you know, low man, corner, and then he's even reading the guy that's behind him. Like, those are high level things. When he drove down the other night and he took the defense, brought him to him, and then dropped it off to Dario on the baseline. So probably that aspect of his game, but there's a part of him that doesn't really get rattled, and he just kind of plays his game. And I talked to him about, you know, don't feel overwhelmed, just go out there, play extremely hard, and we're going to learn together. Like, don't worry about it. I got you. And just watching him do his business, and he does his film work, encourage him to talk to DeMar, Zach, Dennis, and now Russ. Like, that is corporate knowledge that for him is like a PhD, master's degree, all in one. He just has to be willing to take the information in, and he is, to his credit, as a young player.
Speaking of the rookies, how do you feel like they did in that talent show on Saturday?
Wow. It's high level, man. Like, listen, that surprised me, okay? You want to be surprised? I was like, oh, boy. Dylan, on and off the court, he is surprising me, yes.
Not Max jumping up on doing a Patrick Beverly?
Yeah, I was more worried about the children that were down low, to be honest with you. But, yeah, all of them. You know, like, it's one thing to be comfortable, and then to, you know, some people don't like to do that, but be willing to, you know, show yourself in a different light. It just speaks to what type of teammates they are.
So, your team will be known for this season. Do you feel, how big of an ingredient do you feel chemistry will be at the top of that list?
I think it's huge because there are parts of everyone's game that, like, we have to give of to help the next person. Running the floor to open something up, setting good screens to open someone up, making from good to great passes, communicating on the defensive end, making that extra play, next play speed, not crying to the referees. Like, there are a lot of different things that for us to be the team that we will be, we have to go through all of those progressions. So one by one, we have to do it. And then you have to do it consistently after you do it once.
Up to this point, what stood out to you about
it? We'll wrap up with Doug right there. I'm just going to put two and two together. They found out Dennis didn't practice after they talked to Doug Christie. Because not a single question about there were a lot of Russell Westbrook questions. This is his first practice. Mm-hmm. Not a single question about Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
That leads me to believe. Right. And then looking back on the timing of tweets there while Doug was talking, it appears they may have already talked to Doug. I think we can hear from DeMar DeRozan coming up here in a couple minutes too. They may have already talked to Doug by the time they found out Dennis Schroeder was a non-contact participant today.
They may have. It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. There's some footage I've seen of Russ with the starters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the starters. No Dennis or whatever. So mm-hmm. Maybe by the time they were able to watch and do footage, they just thought Dennis.
Oh, you have it from one of the media people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's maybe they just didn't even think twice about it. Didn't even put two and two together.
Sean Cunningham would never. Later. Sean Cunningham would never. He'd be like, Coach, what's going on out here? Where's Dennis? Or maybe they were just told, oh, it's not a big deal. He just didn't practice today. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's not a big deal. Here's DeMar DeRozan following practice.
Whenever you guys are ready.
Ready to get this thing going?
Yes, very much so.
I love that. No, not really. Truthfully, I could go for about another 4 weeks of training camp and, you know.
Excited, you know, just get back out there. Everything real now, you know. So I'm just excited. I think all the guys are just excited to get out there. You know, especially with the addition of Russ, we're excited for sure.
What was that? We kind of heard a little bit of there, but what was the overall theme of that message you wanted those guys to hear?
I mean, it's real. It's just everything, you know, counts from here on out. You know, coming in tomorrow, going to be a day where we prepare for Phoenix. Next day, we're going to go play Phoenix, you know, and everything from there, you know, once game one come, it's just everything here. You know, it's nonstop. So, you know, just getting in the right mindset, you know, and getting everybody ready.
What was your reaction to seeing Russ added to this roster? I don't think it came as much of a surprise.
I mean, I was excited. You know, obviously everybody know how close my relationship is with Russ. Russ is definitely, you know, a guy I mentioned to him, to everybody, that'll be somebody that could definitely help us in many ways. You know, so to have him, you know, on the team is crazy. You know, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest point guards of all time. You know, the knowledge, the still what he have left to give to the game. You know, to be a part of that. You know, is definitely energetic. So, you know, it's exciting to see him here.
We saw DeMar DeRozan right there. I said this at the Galleria yesterday. In this generation, when you're talking about the greatest point guards of all time. When you're talking about the greatest point guards of this generation, excuse me. You're talking Steph, because he is. You're talking Chris Paul, and you're talking Russell Westbrook. Am I wrong?
No, that seems... Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody left out, but I mean, yeah, Russ,
I feel like
Russ
that's,
is there. Even
I feel like that's the list.
Regardless, yeah.
That's the list. I mean, Steph gets thrown into a variety of different categories, but in the end, he's listed as a point guard. You can call him the greatest shooter of all time. You can call him one of the greatest players of all time.
Kyrie probably on that list too. Injuries and stuff.
I
take
agree.
Away from it a little bit,
yeah, I agree. Kyrie
James
to me,
Harden, depending on how you look at him,
I don't.
but regardless of who else is on that list, Russ is on the list and he's very high up. So yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd listen to the Kyrie one. As weird as it sounds, Kyrie feels like, despite his absurd amount of accomplishments and the just overwhelming love he has from other players in the league, he's a what if to me. He's not a Derrick Rose what if, because it's not like we weren't robbed of a great player. But I feel like we might have been robbed of something. I don't know what.
Man, prime Kyrie was hurt.
Hurt.
About three, COVID, 5 years, yeah.
Vaccinations. Like, we lost a lot of... okay. I'll just say he was suspended. I wanted to say much more. He was suspended. Mm-hmm. Like, all of those things took so much away from Kyrie,
yeah,
from what Kyrie's legacy would have been. Mm-hmm. Someone mentions Dame.
Dame's on that list. Dame, yeah.
Yeah, the three I named, I'd put before Dame. I would.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Beat Russell Westbrook's ass.
Oh, that's fine.
I remember that series. I was so hyped for that series because I was like,
one of the greatest series of all time.
These are my boys.
That was
right
one
here.
Of the greatest series of all time with one of the greatest endings of all time.
Those are my boys. Just those iconic. Are my boys too. And I was like, oh, they about to battle. They was getting after it. So I'd put Dame on the list.
How many finals did Portland go to?
Zero.
Okay. Yeah, Dame definitely up there. Dame definitely up there. And like he said this before, he does a stake as the second greatest shooter of all time. Mm-hmm. So I say all of that to say it's not nothing that he's on this basketball team. Whether he's the triple-double MVP Russell Westbrook or not, he's not nothing.
Right.
And I think we might learn that if Dennis Schroeder – we're going to learn that immediately – if Dennis Schroeder is out on Wednesday, and of course we have no idea what Dennis will his availability will be moving forward, given him missing practice today. But Russell Westbrook being on this team to me is a big deal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.